Blog Talk Radio.
What good is music? What good is melody if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the music, it ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Now that's American, in case you want to know the difference. That's American. That comes from America. That's all American. Creativity, talent, individualism. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America, a party book. You know what kills all of those ingredients to being American? The biggest business in the world. Big business. The U.S. government. There's nothing bigger. They can go out to Nevada and they can rustle cattle and get away with it. Two biggest enemies of American growth and a performance. The Bureau of Land Management, which is destroying the farming industry in the United States. And one day we're all going to be on breadlines wondering what happened. And the EPA and the OSHA, which has destroyed the American industry, which has now moved to China. And if you look way up in the atmosphere, you can see the smoke coming for ozone poisoning from those American factories now in China. Instead of the EPA going in and finding a guy out of business, what they should have done is given him money to make his industry environmentally friendly. But instead, they spent the money on make-believe BS like global warming. Global warming, yes. And then when it turned out that it wasn't getting colder, they called it climate change. Communists always know how to turn the lie. They turn the lie. So there's a rancher out in Nevada, and the grounds that his cattle used to graze on, that was open territory, has been acquired by the communist government, and they are protecting a tortoise. But they're not protecting his cattle. As a matter of fact, their helicopters are scaring pregnant cows. Yes, but the tortoise, which makes good soup, by the way, the tortoise is protected. This is all a ruse. This is the Enviro-Leninists, who want to tie up all of the land in the United States and make it a monument to themselves. And all they want to do is kill your kids, kill your crops, and grow their poison. Do not trust these Greenpeace people. They are no good. They are no good. The same ones that will cry over a broken branch have no objection to pulling a kid's body apart. Yes. Having said that, what are we going to take a look at? We'll go to Walid Shubat. We'll get a little Middle East information. Walid Shubat has a newsletter. Walid Shubat is the voice of the Middle East crying in the wilderness. And he's telling us, wake up, Americans. And here's a tribute. You know that there is a new news TV show. It is called a news network, and it's called One America. And it's average Americans. There's no fantastic stars on there. They have nice-looking women, but they don't have the foxes. Yeah, the foxes that wiped out NBC. NBC's version of a fox is Chris Matthews in a string bikini. Yeah, and Al Sharpton wearing a wire. Unbelievable. Al Sharpton, he was fighting for America. He saved the country. He went underground. He became, what was that movie, Donnie what? The mafia guy? Yeah, Al Sharpton went underground. No, what happened? Al Sharpton got caught with his hand in the till. Al Sharpton used to sell stolen goods. Al Sharpton got caught in a cocaine deal, and the feds turned him. And I'm sure that Jesse Jackson is going over all his notes about all his meetings with Al Sharpton right now. Really sad. And some guy called into a talk show tonight. I think it was Mike Savage's show, and it was a guy that sat in for Mike Savage today, and he was very good. He was a good listener, and he got as many people on as he possibly could. And one of his tactics that I liked is he lets the guy say what he wants. He doesn't debate him. He just says thank you, and then he debates him without having the guy there to interject, which is good. It saves time. And he said there's three people he hates. One is Bill Maher. The other one is John the Monkey Stewart and Claudette Colbert, who just got a big, sweet deal from CBS, the Communist Broadcasting System. Or the Catholic bashing system. You can pick your acronym. Yeah. And he says he hates all three. And I am in unison with him. Yeah. This is what we get. Crap TV. Do you know that when cable first came out, they told everybody, you're going to pay for cable? And though the regular TV is free, you have to watch commercials. But when you buy cable, there's no commercials. It's commercial free. So after all of these suckers, the same tax suckers that the government gets signed up for cable TV, then they started running ads after they had everybody hooked. It goes on all the time. One thing we all know as Americans, whatever tax the government lays on your back, they never take it back from your back. They only increase it. And every morning when they go to work, they should be wearing pirate costumes at the House and the Senate, because all they're doing is dreaming up new forms of revenue to keep that big bloated elephant happy. I shouldn't say elephant, because that's the symbol of the Republican Party, and the elephants are sacred. Yeah, and elephants never forget. I like that. I like that. The symbol of the Democrat Party is the jackass. Yeah, stubborn and stupid. Yeah, I was in Dubai at a trade show, and an Indian guy walked up to me, and he goes, you're American? I said, yes. He goes, which one are you, the elephant or the donkey? Yeah, hot stuff, huh? Okay, first cable network to expose human slaughterhouses in Syria. What's going on in Syria is a real Holocaust. There's over a million refugees that are on the Turkish border. God knows what's going to happen to them. And God forbid if there's any Christians among them, because the Turks are also known for killing Christians. Just ask the Armenians. They'll tell you. Regular readers know how difficult it has been to get media outlets to pay attention to the Christian Holocaust in Syria. Fortunately, One American News Network, OAN, is not one of them. Executive Director of Rescue Christians appeared on the Daily Ledger, hosted by Graham Ledger. I like this guy. He's cool, calm, collected, doesn't get excited. And he says, when I'm wrong, I'm right. Yeah, I like that. Hosted by Graham Ledger to talk about three heinous atrocities. Oh, these heinous atrocities. Got to get my eyes checked. Okay, so that's one story, which we can go into. There's another one from Walid Shubat. House Intelligence Committee Chairman busted in another cover-up. White House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers, a representative of Michigan, traveled to Egypt earlier this year. One of the top items on his agenda was that country's case, number 1761, against Malik Obama, the brother of President Obama. The credibility of our source was bolstered by the fact that Shubat.com learned this information before media had even reported on Rogers' visit to Egypt. So we could read about that one. And here's another news. David Cameron, he's the Prime Minister of England. Christians are now the most persecuted religion around the world. And then there's some by-headlines. Muslims want to commit final solution on Christians. Get ready for another Holocaust. Megyn Kelly, RIPS care official, defends Ayan Hirsi Ali over honor violence. That's the girl. I think she's from Ethiopia. She's very straightforward and brave. And the Muslims want to cut her throat. Will congressman fail to act after being labeled? Will congressman fail to act after being labeled a racist by the attorney general? Well, that's an interesting one. Somebody's playing the race card? I can't believe that. In America today? Why House Intelligence Committee chairman is stonewalling and resigning. Ooh, that's scary. Arafat's a bodyguard. Yeah, Yasser lied all the time. Well, I know one thing. I saw Geraldo sweet-talking him and hugging him and kissing him and begging him to make peace with the Israelis, and he said, sure, we'll do that. Yeah. Antichrist in Turkey is beginning to subjugate the women. The most horrifying story of Christian persecution in our time. Muslims behead man after he begs for his life. One of the most spine-chilling videos you will ever see. I saw a guy get his hand cut off the other day. I got to tell you, if you think that they use antiseptic, they don't do nothing, man. This guy had his hand stuck through a little cutout in a wall, and his hand rested on a steel table, which was flexible. And the guy had a crappy sword, and he chopped his hand, and he didn't sever it. So he had to go do it again, and it still didn't sever. And then he did it again. And finally, he sawed the guy's hand off. Meanwhile, this guy is writhing every time they chopped his hand. Unbelievable. These people are animals. They're 7th-century animals. Muslim man beheads girlfriend after demons tell him to do so. Oh, man. I don't even want to read the rest of that. Okay, so that's Walid Shubat's website. Now, which one would you like to see? I think we want to see, will congressman fail to act after being labeled a racist? Let me see that. We'll take a look at that one, see who the congressman is. Oh, it's Louis Gohmert. One day after a heated exchange with the U.S. Congressman, Attorney General Eric Holder made it clear he thought Rep. Louis Gohmert was a racist. Holder made the comments at a National Action Network NAN event. The NAN was founded and led by Race Bader, racist and former fat rat Al Sharpton, who can write the N-word upside down on his breasts. Holder was obviously referring to the exchange he had with Gohmert. Gohmert got him tonight. Gohmert read an impeachment speech. That's what Gohmert read tonight. You got to get that one. He's got like 21 charges against Eric Holder. The ball is now in Gohmert's court. In his speech at the NAN, Holder clearly implied that he had been disrespected by Gohmert because he is a black attorney general, and it has nothing to do with Holder's performance. Attorney General Will Gohmert back down? Will Gohmert back down or take the gloves off? He took the gloves off today. Did it very, very delicately, politically. And I remember Eric Holder packaging the Mark Rich pardon. Remember when Clinton sold 170 pardons for big cash money? You can't prove that. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Didn't I say alleged? Is the money still in the library along with the silverware from the White House? Could this man, Bill Clinton, and his wife be worth $674 million? Not bad for a governor of Arkansas started out at $25,000. Must have made some good investments, huh? Yeah. Or was he getting a lot of campaign champagne contributions? Yeah, that's why you have to have one term per termite, and that's it. And $1 maximum campaign contribution. They don't need to buy TV time. They got soapboxes. They can get plenty of free coverage. We don't have to sponsor them. I'm tired of seeing all these letters. Oh, we're going to lose if you don't send money. Hey, listen. We lose when we do send money. And what about the tax money? Doesn't that count? I'm sorry about that. Terrible, man. Terrible. Okay, let's see what else we can read today. Walid Shubat. Well, looks like I'm back in rock and roll times.
Thank you.
Remember when guys used to write songs with girls' names in them? Maria, Marianne, and Ramona, Katie, Charmaine, Cindy Lou, Peggy Sue, Ida, sweet as apple cider. Now, they just got trade names. Yeah. One starts with a B and the other starts with an H. Yeah. Individuality is gone. Everybody's part of the herd now. Is it stampede time yet? Oh, man. What are we going to do? Well, here's one for Ramona.
Ramona, Ramona, you're mine. Ramona, I hear the mission bells about. Ramona, they're ringing out our song of love. I press you, caress you, and bless the day you taught me to care. To always remember the rambling rose you wear in your hair. Ramona, when day is done, you'll hear my call. Ramona, we'll meet beside the waterfall. I thread the dawn when I find you gone. Ramona, I need you miles. Ramona, Ramona, I hear the mission bells above. Ramona, they're ringing out our song of love. I press you, caress you, and bless the day you taught me to care. To always remember the rambling rose you wear in your hair. Ramona, when day is done, you'll hear my call. Ramona, we'll meet beside the waterfall. The dawn when I find you gone. Ramona, I need you my own. Ramona, 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 Ramona.
The most horrifying story of Christian persecution in our time. This is by Theodore Ashubat. Imagine yourself in a filthy and dismal room with sadistically smiling Muslims looking at you and thinking of the evil they are about to inflict upon you. You are not alone, and next to you is your wife. They beat you heavily to the point that you can barely stand, and then they threaten you with the unthinkable. They say they are going to seize your wife, strip her completely naked, and walk her down the road in plain sight just to humiliate her. After you have been severely beaten and humiliated, you and your demoralized wife are taken to a court where a mob of Muslim gangs scream verses from the Quran justifying your death. Your lawyer is terrified. The judge does not want even to entertain your case for fear of the mob. Week after week, you live without hope, not knowing what your fate will be. Your children are alone, without father nor mother, and not realizing if their parents will live or die. And in the end, when you and your wife stand in the court surrounded by wolves and no sympathizers, the judge declares your sentence, you will both be put to death by hanging. This is what is happening in the case of Shapkat and Shagufta. This is the highest profile case of persecution in Pakistan, and Rescue Christians is the only organization that has taken it up. The story will make or break the case for Pakistani Christians. In the case of Shapkat and his wife, the courts are assisting to carry out the death penalty in order to thwart the ability of the West to rescue Christians in Pakistan. And it is why we are appealing to all to send this to your friends, urging them with these words, there's time for prayer or action. The story will make a break. I said that they are a Christian couple in Pakistan who were arrested and brutally tortured by Muslims after they were falsely accused of blasphemy against Islam. They are now facing the death penalty and are screaming out, save our souls. The Muslim police, who sadistically tormented them, threatened the husband that if he did not admit to the charges, they would strip his wife completely naked on the road. Their son had this to say about the event. They forced my father to admit the accusation, but my father denied. They tortured my father and said that if he did not admit it, they would beat his wife and then they would take her on the road naked. So my father admitted. What are you going to do? After enduring such torture and psychological violence, they were both sentenced to death. Pharaoh's heart is hardened to uproot the name of Christianity and to wipe out the Christians from the earth. This is the ultimate battle for survival. Either this couple lives or they die. The couple was slandered, tortured, humiliated to the most horrific degree, and yet they still did not give up the cause of Christ. Nor did they accept her to convert her to Islam, even though the court passed a death sentence on both the man and his wife. Watch this most heartbreaking video. They got a video of their children and Shakat's father weeping and begging for help from anyone who will take up their cause. He's a very old man. The kids are very young. The oldest boy looks like he's 11 and maybe 1 9, 1 6, and a little girl. Probably 5 or 4. Whether they live or die depends on what we do at this very moment. If we help, we can free them. But if we do nothing, their blood is upon us. We must strive to liberate them from this Islamic despotism. Please make a donation for the freedom of Shafkat and Shagufta. This is Walid Shubat's. If you do shoe and bat, you know, S-H-O-E, bat, B-A-T, Walid, W-A-L-I-D, you will find his website. He's probably the only guy with that name. And he quotes passages from the Bible. So every tear that pours forth from the shaking eyes of these hated Christians and drips down like a river flowing from the mountains of the sky's lofty peak in an eternal ocean that roars like the lion breaking from the shackles of his enemies, the robust beast that charges with righteous outrage to execute the vengeance of heaven, storming under the thick clouds of peace, striking with the utmost of love, advancing the eternal law and fulfilling revenge over his enemies with the purest light of justice, as the Holy Revelator declares. Weep not, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. The book of Revelation, he's quoting. Okay, that's your religious instructions for tonight. And we'll say a little prayer. And if you want to send some cash to help those people out, that would be nice. If you've ever been hostage in a country that doesn't like you, you'll know what these people are going through. Really sad. Very, very sad. So, well, having said that, maybe we'll reach out for another tune and then we'll look for something else to talk about. Here we go. We're loading. I used to do this differently when I used to hang out in the bars. We used to load differently. Yeah, that's where the expression comes. He's getting his load on. Okay. There's one I got to play for you. We're going to do a little Joe Stafford. It could happen to you. Oh, I did it again. nice when you make the right choice the first time, huh? And you live happily ever after, like used to be in the movies of the 50s. There was no divorce in the 50s. You couldn't get a divorce. Nobody would talk to you. Say, look, you got to suffer like the rest of us. Yeah. The only ones that got divorces were Hollywood actors, and they had to go to Mexico, get a Mexican divorce. And Nevada. And speaking of Nevada, tonight, the last farmer in Nevada is fighting. Is fighting the Communist Party of that's running the country. I think he's got 900 head of cattle. And what happened was the Communist Bureau of Land Management came in and they seized the property underneath him and said that there was a tortoise on the land and they had to take all the property, I think it was 600,000 acres, to protect the tortoise. And they told him that he had to start paying grazing for grazing rights, $30,000 a year. That's a nice, you know, you're running along, you got a little business going, and in comes a government official and says, as of tomorrow, you owe me $30,000. Tell me that's not mafia. You know, well, they took the land. How did they take it? Did they give them a chance to buy a piece? No, government doesn't work like that. The government is me, me, me. Everything for me, nothing for you. I will spend the money. You just bring it to me. Well, this is what they're saying. Battered President Barack Obama is fighting desperately for his political life as a tidal wave of anger, distrust, and resentment sweeps America, resulting in a growing crusade for his impeachment. I got to say it one more time. Impeach Eric Holder first. If you can't impeach Eric Holder, you will never get Obama. Once you impeach Eric Holder, and then you can say, well, now we got to, now we know how to do it. And my revolution thermometer is kicking up a little bit. It's getting hotter. And I don't know what kind of revolution we're going to have. We're going to have tax boycotts. Or are we going to have a physical revolution? I see. I just heard it just once on Savage tonight. That there are militia groups that are heading for Nevada. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. One guy and one state was mentioned, New Hampshire. But if guys start showing up with rifles and guns, legal guns, this becomes a whole new ball game. And they say the governor of Nevada is very ticked off at the Bureau of Land Management. Well, that's nice. That's for the papers. But what are you really doing, Governor? You got to get out there. You got to be with the people. You got to spill blood. I'm having a noodle. I can't talk right now.
You're under arrest. Sergeant, read this man his merengue rights.
Para aquellos que se quejan tanto, para aquellos que solo critican, para aquellos que usan las armas, para aquellos que nos contaminan, para aquellos que hacen la guerra, para aquellos que viven pecando, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que nos contagian.
Okay, I'm back. I was listening to Mark Levin. He was giving out some interesting tidbits of information. Civil rights movement did not begin with LBJ. It began with Dwight Eisenhower. And the Democrat Party was against the civil rights movement. And he mentioned all of the senators who refused to sign on. So how did the Republicans get blamed for being anti-Negro. Good advertising. Good propaganda. Yeah. If you just, I can remember Senator Byrd. You know Senator Byrd from Virginia? He was actually a higher up in the KKK. And he actually, on the floor of the Senate, I heard him, he used the N-word. And nobody said boo.
Sombra. En la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda. En el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Cuando la tarde languidece renace la sombra. En la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda. En el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Una canción de amor, una tristeza. Lleva el zambo Manuel en su amargura. Y pasa la noche entera moliendo café. Fresquecito café, calientito café, ay Manuel,
moliendo café,
ay Manuel,
moliendo café.
Twin car bombs hit the Syrian city of Homs. Two car bombs exploded in the city of Homs Wednesday, killing 25 people and wounding 107 others. Their dream is to do this here. According to Syrian state news agency Sana, the British-based the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights put the death toll at 21, but said it's expected to rise. Sadly, in New York, a kid set fire to a mattress, and he killed a cop. A cop passed away, I guess, today from inhaling the fumes. And the other guy was in a barrack chamber. It was a girl. That's right, his partner was a girl. I'll say a little prayer. This is one that won't get a lot of attention under the communist de Blasio. You know, he'll talk about books for kids that tell the story of Karl Marx as a kid. The explosions were 30 minutes apart, causing heavy damage. Meanwhile, the United States and Turkey are investigating new accusations accusations of the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons. Oh, they're back to their old tricks, and we negotiated so well. Aren't we good at negotiating? You know, the only thing that beats our negotiations is our intelligence. We know everything that's going on. Nobody could get to a place like Boston. Not when we're ready. Yeah. Tell me about 5 aircraft carriers all tied up together 2 Christmases ago in Norfolk, Virginia. 5 out of 13. Huh? That'd be a nice hit, wouldn't it? Yeah. I thought didn't we learn a lesson in a place in Hawaii? What was that place, Pearl Harbor? Wasn't there something that went on December the 7th? Everything was tied up. It was a Sunday. Why? They can't hit us on a Sunday. That's a holy day. Yeah, well, you know, maybe they're not that holy. American anti-tank weapons appear in Syrian rebel hands. And it's by a writer for the Huffington Post, which I don't trust. So I won't read it. Let's see what else we got. The collapse of buildings across Egypt is a problematic phenomenon on several fronts because there's corruption in the construction industry, so they don't put the Portland cement in with the regular cement. Yeah, they cut the budget. Unbelievable. Netanyahu orders pullback in contact with Palestinians. The Israelis are very quiet lately. When the Israelis get quiet, I get nervous because tomorrow morning they could tell you that Natanz is gone in Iran, followed by Qom, followed by Bandar Abbas. Yeah, that's it, man. You know, you're gonna take us out. No, we're not going to let you. Yeah, peace talks falter as Abbas assigns international treaties. Syrian refugees registered in Lebanon top 1 million. So there's 1 million on the Lebanese border. There's 1 million on the Turkish border. Yeah, this guy this president's going to be the president of 3 people. It is really terrible. And you know what party he belongs to, Bashar al-Assad? He belongs to the same party that Saddam Hussein did, the Take a Bath party. And they're saying that they're 3%, within 3% of beating Al Franken. What town, what state is he from, Minnesota? I hate Al Franken. I hate his stinking guts. Yeah, he's a real smug, what we used to call buddy effers. You can't turn your back on him. Trey Gowdy absolutely obliterates Lois Lerner. I think they're going to get a little close to Lois Lerner. I think she's going to start to feel a little heat. And if she feels heat, she's liable to start drinking heavily. And you know what happens when you decompose with alcohol? You know what happens. You start to talk. You know, the stool pigeon. She's going to become a stool pigeon. They put the light on her. Yeah, they violate her rights. They waterboard her with the scotch, with scotch and waterboard. Yeah. Oh, this is the one I saw today. This Elijah Cummings, he made a grandstand play the last time, and Daryl Lisa had to shut his mic off because he had to rehearse the scene he was going to create. And Issa picked it out right away and shut him down. So here's the big headline. This is courtesy of a conservative bite. And it says, Lois Lerner fed information to a Democrat communist. I think he's a communist too, Elijah Cummings. Don't take my word for it. Go to the Democrat Socialist Party of America, and they list all of the congressmen who are members of the Socialist Party, and I think you'll find Elijah Cummings there. And you'll see about 69 other congressmen. You'll be surprised. And then you'll know that you lost your country and you're never getting it back. Wow, this is huge. This is way past time for a special prosecutor. Lots of people need to go to jail. Check it out. New IRS mails released by the House Oversight Committee show staff working for Democrat ranking member Elijah Cummings. I wonder how many on his staff. Chuck Schumer's got 129 people on his staff. Boy, huh? Some of that money could go to veterans that didn't get a raise, huh? Elijah Cummings communicated with the IRS multiple times between 2012 and 2013 about voter fraud prevention group True the Vote. True the Vote was targeted by the IRS after applying for a tax-exempt status more than 2 years ago. Further information shows the IRS and Cummings staff asked for nearly identical information from True the Vote President Catherine Engelbrecht about her organization, indicating coordination and improper sharing of confidential taxpayer information. Chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Darrell Issa, along with five subcommittee chairmen, are demanding Cummings provide an explanation for the staff inquiries to the IRS about True the Vote for his denial and for his denial that his staff ever contacted the IRS about the group. Wait till he's cornered, this guy. You're going to see a display of race talk you won't believe. You will be shocked. Although you have previously denied that your staff made inquiries to the IRS about conservative organization True to the Vote, that may have led to additional agency scrutiny, communication records between your staff and IRS officials, which you did not disclose to majority members or staff, indicates otherwise. The letter to Cummings states, as the committee is scheduled to consider a resolution holding Ms. Lerner a participant in responding to your communications that you failed to disclose in contempt of Congress, you have an obligation to fully explain your staff's undisclosed contacts with the IRS. So this guy is sitting up on a committee to do a hearing on the IRS, and he's in bed with them? You want to hear what the people say? This is from Ricardo. In a fair and honest world, Obama would resign. He used the IRS to hold back the Republican campaign, and even if he would have won anyway, what he did was 10 times worse than Watergate. And what's his name had nice words for Richard Nixon tonight, Mark Levin. My God, the way this, and it had to do with civil rights. My God, the way this administration has been fighting off any further investigation, there must be a broad involvement right to the top. Why can't we get answers? Why can't we get a special prosecutor as they did with Nixon? Why can't we get rid of the stench in the Justice Department? This will go nowhere until people en masse demand truth and justice both, which frightens Obama and Holder. And Mike 6080 says, is he going to take the fifth also? Forget about contempt. Put them all into the FEMA camps. No, those FEMA camps are reserved for us, Mike. There once was a congressman named Cummings who finally received his summons. He screamed it was nothing more than called Holder to even the score, and now it's about white racists abusing the poor. Yeah, they all need to go to jail. Yeah, my son says every congressman, every senator should only get 4 years in office followed by 4 years in jail. They all need to go to jail, and yeah, that includes you, Cummings, you whining stain in the shorts, moron. As I see you, a lot of people at the Justice Department have got to be booked into further, because I'm sure Holder got his stinky fingers in there somewhere. He won't prosecute anybody that has ties to Obama and how he got reelected. Cummings should be arrested and tried for treason against the U.S. people. He should be stripped of his federal benefits. He should be exposed as a socialist, and his title on the socialist list on their website should be brought to the attention of all Americans. No wonder Cummings was so vocal, his BS. I am a congressman and I'm tired of this. Fire Cummings. Something's rotten in Denmark. You know where that expression comes from? An army private, his name was Jorgensen. He went to Denmark and had a sex change operation in the 50s, and everybody thought it was hilarious. It was like the big joke of the year, and the expression came from something's rotten in Denmark, because he went to Denmark to have the sex change operation. But that's the only one that in the 50s that had a sex change operation that anybody knows about. Some of this, now you can get them if you go to prison in California. It's $100,000, and then the hormone shots, they're probably like about $10,000 a shot. And the prisoners are doing it. And then, of course, you know, that's good because then once they get the sex change operation, then they go to women's prison. It's really good. You know, it's one way of escaping the brutes. Some of the stench appears to be emanating from deceit under the Honorable Mr. Cummings. Time for Cummings to be called in front of the House Ethics Committee. Oh, they don't like that. They don't like to sit in the squirm seat. Hey, House of Representatives, think maybe it's time for an independent prosecutor? You got your Benghazi cover-up. You got your IRS gate. What bothers me is Fast and Furious. You know, I'm going to tell you something. And nobody is treating Fast and Furious serious. But Fast and Furious armed the narco-terrorists who could overthrow the government of Mexico. And Fast and Furious killed at least 100,000 Mexicans. And nobody's talking about it. They say about 100 Mexicans. Let me tell you something. They had rooms full of chopped up bodies, shot up bodies. The mayor of one town was dragged out of, was ambushed in his car along with his wife and child. His wife survived, and she ran for mayor and got elected, and they got her next. And her last words were, please don't hurt my daughter. And she was a beautiful woman, and they have no regard for life. They are animals. There's no difference between them and the Muslims who kill the innocent. Cummings, and we aided and abetted the narco-terrorists. And you know those tunnels that they're finding coming into the border? They're not bringing drugs in. They're bringing in voters for Obamacare. Cummings has been on a defensive all during the IRS hearings. Why is this? We all see that Lois Lerner was an intricate part of in the way they broke the law at the IRS. Why hasn't he seen that? Who was he afraid of? Why hasn't he done his due diligence and come to the bottom of what happened here and why conservative groups are singled out by the IRS? Why was the IRS involved in this at all? Why does Cummings constantly attack Congressman Issa and not demanding answers from Lois Lerner? Pretty evident that he's part of this. He's a party stooge. He's desperately trying to cover his own back and his own tracks. We need a special prosecutor. Everybody's calling for a special prosecutor. Everybody's calling for impeachment. And everybody's calling for hold on to your guns because you're going to need them. The Democrats are evil, anti-American hypocrites. Wake up the people. Let us not give our great nation away to criminal Democrats ever. I wonder how the rhinos are implicated. Hey, it doesn't matter. You're either an American or you're un-American. But the Democrats take the cake because they are the Communist Party now. They got rid of God at the last convention. They're selling dope for 30% tax money. They're killing kids, 3,000 a day, 4,700 a day. Let me go back and get it to them. And that can't be good. Killing American kids cannot be good, and it doesn't look good on our record, on our resume, when we report to heaven and stand in front of the big banger.
Did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot 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 did it, did
da da did da did 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 da did did da did did da did did da did 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 da did. Baby, come home to me. Did da did did.
Helpless Christians in Pakistan in an unfriendly world trying to survive. There was a story I read about a year or two ago about a Christian girl in Egypt who was going to get married, and a Muslim who knew her kidnapped her and raped her and held her as a slave in his house. And the father went, still trying to save the marriage. She was scheduled to marry a Christian man. And he begged the police to help him get his daughter back. And they laughed at him. That's pretty helpless, isn't it? What can you do? You're going to write your congressman? Okay. There are guys who served this country who are rotting in jail. And nobody cares about them. They've been sentenced, and they've been shut away at Fort Leavenworth. And what comes to mind is Abu Ghraib. That was the biggest atrocity that the communists played to force Bush to bow to the terrorists. And what happened in Abu Ghraib is nothing compared to what would happen to you if you were in the enemy camp. And I'll give you one example. A gentleman's name, when he was alive, was Corporal Anzac. And he happened to get captured by Al-Qaeda, and they fished his body out of the Tigris or Euphrates River, and he had been whipped and tortured before they killed him. So when you show me a dog playing Bowsy Wowsy with a terrified Al-Qaeda who wouldn't think twice if he was in control and cut your throat, I'm not buying it. And I faulted the Republicans because I believe that these GIs who screwed up were the victims of Republican pressure for punishment so that they would look good in the upcoming elections. But it was the Democrats who played it up for their side's advantage. And who suffered the most? The guys who screwed up. Because instead of getting the normal screw-up sentence, they got extra time because they were embarrassing both parties. But the commander of Abu Ghraib was a woman, a general, and the first thing they did was they squirreled her away. They transferred her right out of the area. And she had no idea what was going on in that prison because she was an affirmative action general, a white one. Yeah. And as a result, those people, when Bush left office, he could have done a few pardons, like Clinton sold 170 pardons. Bush could have done a few gratis. And he could have said, these people served with me. I'm their commander-in-chief. They screwed up. But I'm leaving office, and I'm turning them loose, or commute their sentence, or cut their sentence. But he didn't do that. As a matter of fact, he didn't even protect his Secretary of Defense. He threw him under the bus, you know, unseen. But I saw it, and so did other people. I got three letters here I'm going to read to you. These are three people that were rotting. One just got released after 5 years in prison. They were all rotting in Fort Leavenworth. Dear friend, I wish I could sit down with you face to face. This is the father of Scott, Lieutenant Behenna. His father's name is Scott Behenna. I wish I could sit down with you face to face, but for now all I can do is hope and pray that you'll read this letter. My name is Scott Behenna, and my wife Vicki and I have been blessed with three sons. Our oldest boy is First Lieutenant Michael Behenna, an airborne Army Ranger with the famous 101st Airborne. I sent you a photo of him. I got a photo of him. He's with his brothers and his father and mother, and they're all dressed up, and they're all happy, and they all got big smiles on their face, probably attending some award. And then in the next photo, he's riding in Fort Leavenworth for 15 years. When Michael left for his first tour of duty in Iraq, I was so proud to be his dad and proud to be an American. Now I'm just scared. Because for killing an Al-Qaeda operative during combat duty in Iraq, Michael has been sentenced to 15 years in prison. Please let me explain what happened. On April the 21st, 2008, a roadside bombing killed two soldiers in Michael's platoon. A few weeks later, Michael and his platoon detained an Al-Qaeda operative by the name of Ali Mansour Mohammed. In connection with the bombing, Michael decided to conduct a field interrogation of Mansour to find out if there were other terrorists involved. During the interrogation, I'm going to have to open this up, Ali Mansour threw a rock at Michael's head, and then he stood up and tried to take away Michael's pistol. Michael fired immediately, striking Ali Mansour in the chest and then in the head. It all happened in the blink of an eye. Michael has replayed that moment in his mind a million times, but he knows he did the right thing. Our soldiers are trained to make instantaneous life or death decisions in the heat of combat. He who hesitates is lost. They don't have the luxury of letting down their guard for even a minute. But the military didn't see it that way and decided to charge Michael with the premeditated murder of Ali Mansour. Now, who were the rat bastards that sat on the prosecution side? Who were they? What did they do? What's their track record like? Vicki and I were in shock, but we trusted that the Army would give our son a fair trial and send him home to us. Instead, seven non-infantry officers, that means no combat experience, second-guessed Michael's actions and handed down a guilty verdict at his trial last February. It was the most horrifying moment of my life. So what happened to Michael Behenna? He got 15 years in jail, and after 5 years, they gave him parole. But he's lost all his benefits. He's disgraced, and he's a broken man. No matter what he says, he's a broken man. And so would you be, too. And so would I. Now, this is the second story. This woman's husband is still in jail. This woman is black, so she can't even get an Obama pardon. Dear friend, I am so scared to sit down and write you this letter today. My name is Catherine Miller, and my husband is Sergeant Derek Miller of the Maryland National Guard. National Guard were the last resort for the military. Now, that's all we got. Derek is my best friend and the love of my life. He is a proud daddy who adores our two daughters, and he's a natural-born leader who inspires the younger men both in his military unit and here at home in our church. But what I love most about my husband is that he felt it was his duty as an American to join the National Guard. In fact, he volunteered for two of his three deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. Because for volunteering to defend, now I wish I could go back in time and tell him not to. Because for volunteering to defend our nation, Derek could spend the rest of his life sitting in a military prison for doing exactly what the Army trained him to do. While on a combat mission in September of 2010, Derek saw an Afghani national walk through his unit's defense perimeter. The same man had been detained the day before under suspicion of driving insurgents to a nearby combat firefight. Now Derek watched uneasily as the Afghani walked the perimeter as if he were gathering information, like they did in Benghazi. You know, when Hillary Clinton left the doors open? Just to be safe, Derek and another soldier took him into custody for questioning with an Afghani interpreter. Derek asked the man why he was within the American defense perimeter. First, the Afghani claimed to be an electrician responding to a downed power line. But he claimed to be there. Then he claimed to be there to fix a water pump. Either way, he had no tools with him. The Afghani grew more and more agitated. Suddenly, he grabbed for Derek's weapon. Derek reacted immediately, firing and killing him. And for that, he got life in prison. And he's still there. And I got a picture of him with his two little daughters. Yep. And the last one I have is from Mrs. Alisa Vela. This one is really sad. I am so scared, and I wish I could hold your hand and pray for strength, because I'm going to need it. My name is Alisa Vela, and my husband is Sergeant Evan Vela of the U.S. Army. I sent you a photo of our family. It was taken a few days after the birth of our daughter, Blair. Evan was so happy holding her. But now he may not be able to hold this little girl for 5 more years. You see, just 6 days after she was born, he was deployed to Iraq. And now he is sitting at Fort Leavenworth for a crime he didn't commit. Now think about this woman and her child. She is now an outcast, according to U.S. military tactics. She is getting no income. Her husband has no paycheck. And he has no future. So please bear with me. He's sitting in Fort Leavenworth. But I want you to know what actually happened and why my husband is the victim of a witch hunt by Iraqi officials. Notice Iraqi officials and politically correct bureaucrats. Yeah, we know them. They were around in the 60s and they were spitting on GIs then. So don't. You who don't want to upset the apple cart while our soldiers are still trying to root out Islamic terrorists in Iraq. It happened in May of 2007. Evan's sniper unit was deep behind enemy lines in a dangerous Iraqi war zone known as the Triangle of Death. Even Evan and his men hadn't slept in days, were physically exhausted and dehydrated from the 120-degree desert heat. Still, they knew they had to complete their mission, keeping watch on a village rumored to be hiding al-Qaeda terrorists. Then it happened. An Iraqi general by the name of Janai Nasser al-Janabi came within feet of their hidden post. Knowing Nasser could signal to insurgents in the village and expose their whole unit, listen now, Evan's commanding officer pinned Nasser to the ground and yelled at Evan to shoot him. Evan did as he was trained. He obeyed his superior commander and shot Nasser. That's the kind of split-second decisions our soldiers are forced to make if they want to stay alive. Evan knows he did the right thing. His sniper unit was kept safely hidden, and he had protected his fellow men. But high-ranking officials in the Iraqi In the Iraqi unit, let me see if I lost that page. What happened was high-ranking officials demanded that he be tried. And in an Iraqi court. So what they did was they left this guy, they hung this guy out to dry, and his commanding officer who ordered him to shoot the guy was tried back in a U.S. base in the States. And and this Sergeant Baylor was found guilty, and the other two guys were found innocent. Let me see here. I've got it. Let me see if I can. Evan. So people volunteered to help her move and their children from our home in Alaska so we'd be closer to Evan while he serves his prison sentence. Okay, Evan did what he was trained to do. I said that already. Okay. Yeah, so she moved from Alaska to be closer to her husband in prison, and a major named Donahue and his loyal UAP volunteers have such big hearts, but unfortunately the legal bills are bigger. So here, the guy is an employee of the U.S. government, and he has to now pay for his own defense. And his legal bills that have been paid by UAP have already passed $112,000. And they've got $50,000 more in bills that they have to pay. And that's what happened to Evan Vela. Next time I read this, I'll have it all together for you. I thank God that Evan got to at least see Blair and hold her for those 6 precious days after she was born. That's the only time he got to touch her before he shipped out to Iraq. And he won't hold her for 5 more years unless we can win this crucial appeal. And you don't tell me that George Bush couldn't assign the commutative sentence. Or if it happened under Obama, that he couldn't have made some political points by reinstating the guy's position in the military. Yeah, but you know what? We got too many lawyers and not enough heroes. We got too many people afraid of lawyers. Okay, I've ended it, and I'm going to close with My Country, 'Tis of Thee for the guys that still will stand and deliver.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that grieve partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Ah, 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 ah. Author of Liberty.